Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich. I'm your host. And today I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the vision of Victory Acres. You know, a lot of people have not followed the journey that we've been on, and it would be pretty hard for them to do that probably, just because there's been so much that has happened, has developed over the last really almost 19 years. We just finished our 18th growing season, and there's a lot of different things that have happened along the way, a lot of different iterations, if you will, of the dream, of the vision here. It was in October 2005 that I came here originally to the family farm and walked the farm, camped out, sketched out what I could see happening here by faith. And really, all of that came out of just a deep sense of hurt and loss. I remember in Indianapolis, as I've been working there with a number of folks that were pretty busted up. One day I was there at the church, and there was a lady who came in and asked to speak to the pastor. And I sat down with her, and she showed me a picture. It was a picture of a middle-aged African-American man, and asked me if I recognized him. And I said that I did, but I couldn't remember his name exactly. He was one of many homeless neighbors that would come through our congregation, and many times that would eat a meal with us. And she said, "This is my son." And they found him dead in a dumpster just a few days ago. Went down to the police station to claim his belongings, and in his pocket was this brochure. And she pulled out a blood-stained Victory Chapel brochure and showed it to me and said, "I know he had been here, and I just wondered if you could tell me anything." I remember going to his funeral. His name was Antoine Lamont Thomas, and his daughter spoke there. She was 13 years old, and she was just sobbing as she said, "I know my daddy wasn't much to a lot of people, but he was my daddy, and I loved him." And that whole situation just tore at my heart. There were a lot of other challenging and tragic circumstances that were going on, but it was in that backdrop that I came here to Victory Acres and just walked the farm and sketched out what I could see happening here by faith. And I was praying that somehow God could help us to make this a place of hospitality, a place of healing for many of the friends that we were in relationship with there in Indianapolis. And so fast forward a little bit, I laid out what I could see happening here to Grandpa. At the time, my grandfather, Verlin Heimlich, had lived here and farmed this land, and in the early 1980s, they had lost the equipment to the bank in a foreclosure. There had been 3 years or so of negative returns. They were a casualty, as a number of farmers were at that time, of the agricultural policies of the late 70s, early 80s, that really drove a lot of small farmers out of business. It was either get big or get out, and unfortunately, my grandfather, who was a real farmer, who really cared about the land, he had to go on the road as an over-the-road truck driver for the last few productive years of his life. And so he was in the twilight years of his life, really, like a lot of farmers, cash poor but land rich. He didn't have any money. He just had the land. And so he was in this spot where if he sold off the land, where was he going to live? And yet, how was he going to be able to make it? And so I approached him about the possibility of the ministry purchasing the farm on contract. They would continue to live in their own home, but it would provide them with an income, and it would provide the ministry with a place that we could begin to develop for hospitality, for healing. And so that was the genesis of Victory Acres. I came to Grandpa, shared it with him. We had a meeting as a family. We had another meeting as a board of directors, and talking about the concept, the idea. And amazingly, everyone approved, and So it was in 2006 that we were in the process of signing paperwork. And it was actually the day that we were to sign the papers that my grandfather passed away. And some of the last words that he said to me were, "Eric, I just don't want this to go into an estate." He was so concerned to get this deal done before he passed away. And he knew he was going. He had that knowledge. And it was because of that that I had driven up from Indianapolis and was here to get things taken care of. But he passed away before that could happen. But it was his dying wish, and it did happen. And we're thankful for his vision and his part in that. You know, he stewarded this property for over 40 years. The farm had been in our family, really, if you go back, probably seven generations. And there's a long story there. It was homesteaded during Martin Van Buren's administration in the 1830s from the original abstract. You can see that, and it's really amazing. All the history that's here, just surrounded by history. The main farmhouse here was built by my great-great-grandfather in 1893, and he cut trees from the property, had them milled in town, and built this house, and ended up raising 12 children there, including my great-grandfather. So there's just so much history, and it's just a place that's full of memories for me, but it's also a place that is connected to a vision that I believe God put in my heart to continue to develop it as a place to share, a place where other people can come and be part as well. And so we started out having no idea really what we were doing, but we were trying to develop this. Came up with the idea of community supported agriculture. CSA is very popular in a lot of places around the country. People basically share in the risk and reward of the farm. That's the idea. They sign up to be a member, and then they come each week and they get a share of the produce. And so they never know exactly what they're getting. If we have a bumper crop, they do too. If we have a crop failure, so do they. So you show up and you get what you get. And so it's a real opportunity to expand your healthy eating habits. Everything's grown organically, no herbicides, no pesticides, which means that there's a lot of labor, a lot of input on the human side to keep things down and to get things harvested. But it's also a great learning experience. And so we had over 70 agricultural apprentices and interns from 9 different colleges and universities, and there was a lot of learning. But all the way back to the beginning, really, God has provided for Victory Acres in some amazing ways, and he's done that through people. One of the first things that happened here, our very first planting day that we had in 2006, we'd gone from not knowing what a CSA was in January to trying to run one in March, and that was a pretty steep learning curve. Our very first planting day that we had in May, put out a blurb on localharvest.org, and there was a young man who was finishing his master's degree in environmental science at Taylor University nearby, Dan Perkins. He came, showed up, not knowing us. We didn't know him. He had just finished an apprenticeship with Caretaker Farm in Massachusetts. And so it was one of the premier CSAs in the country. He'd seen how it should be done, and then showed up and saw this rabble from Indianapolis poking seeds in the ground and trying to get things as straight as possible. It was just a real treat. And he's like, "Wow, these guys need help." And so he stuck around as a volunteer that first year and ended up coming back as our very first farm manager. And grew the CSA. We had 20-some members that first year, 50 the next year, 100 the third year. And we were ramping this up, and Dan was doing an amazing job getting it started. He ended up training our first intern and our second farmer came. And so it was just an amazing thing how God provided through Dan. Again, we had no idea really what we were getting into, and yet God had the person already picked out and brought this together. And that's really been the story of Victory Acres. It's been just enough, just in time. I would love for us to have just, you know, been able to have $1 million check and be able to build this out the way we wanted to, but it hasn't happened that way. Instead, we get to use whatever we have. And so some of our first tables were chairs from a Burger King that had gone out of business, that we took the chairs and cut the tops off of them and used metal dividers that had been thrown away to make a top and use the chair legs as the bottom. And that was our table. Those were some of the first tables in our greenhouse. And we just used what we had. And we started with hardly, you know, anything to work with in terms of tools. But God has helped us along the way, and we're thankful for that. It's been an adventure. It's been a journey. But where we came to a few years ago, we were serving about 250 members that were part of our CSA, four different drop sites, Indianapolis, Fishers, Muncie, Marion, here at the farm. There was just a ton of logistics and just really intense. When you're trying to produce for that many people and when you're trying to show up every week with something that is enough that they're going to be satisfied, it's intense. The harvest load, the agricultural part of just trying to keep up with cultivation, the weed pressure, the heat, all of that. And you've got a 20 to 22 week season that you're trying to supply vegetables to all these people. There's just a lot involved in it. And so there were a lot of people that were involved in that team and were doing an amazing job. But as the executive director, I really came to the conclusion that the tail was wagging the dog. You know, we had started out to create a place of hospitality and healing. And the irony was that because we were doing all this other stuff, good stuff, legitimate stuff, but stuff that was keeping us from our real mission and vision, it was just overwhelming. And so to have room in our lives and space here for people after all the hot and heavy days of labor, it just wasn't there. And so we were still trying to welcome people. There were still things going on in that way, but it was not what we had envisioned. And so we took a step back, closed the CSA down. And I remember having a day of prayer. We called a day of prayer for the farm and really began to just say, God, what do you want here? What is it that you want to do? And it's been amazing. Really, it was about 9 years ago that we did that. And so about half of our 18 growing seasons now have been without the CSA component. And over these last few growing seasons, it's amazing how God has provided and what He's led us into as we've just learned to wait on Him. And so really our vision now is making disciples, equipping a new generation of Christian leaders who will engage in God's global mission, and developing Victory Acres as a facility for training and discipleship by building the housing infrastructure necessary to make it a place of hospitality for guests and a missional Christian community. That's what we're trying to do. And so I recognize that a lot of people haven't necessarily come along with us on that journey. And for them, we're still just taking in people off the streets. This is basically a homeless shelter. And that's, in their minds, what we're still doing. It was about 4 years ago. We had been through some really challenging circumstances. And it was right during the heart of COVID that we were making some changes once again. You know, coming out to find that your truck has been stolen, or that people that you're trying to help are actually undermining the very thing that you're trying to do, has a way of just pulling you up short and helping you to really ask hard questions like, is this really help? Is this really what help looks like? And I know during those times, I realized that there's a lot of stuff that we were trying to do that frankly, we just had no business doing. And taking a step back from the kind of crisis intervention that we've been trying to do, you know, everyone would call and say, hey, is there any way you can accept my mother's brother's son come to Victory Acres and get his life turned around? Or the young man that would call, hey, I just got kicked out of my grandma's basement. I have nowhere to go. Can I come to Victory Acres? And certainly there's a need for people, I'm sure, in those sorts of circumstances. And over the years, we welcomed a number of them here. But what we recognized along the way was that just because people are in a crisis doesn't mean they really want to change. And so there were lots of challenges along that road. And most of them came down to they really weren't walking the same road we were walking. Their desire was not to follow Jesus. Their desire was just to get out of the crisis, out of the situation that they were in at the moment, but go on continuing to live the same way they had been living. They wanted relief for the moment, but they weren't really interested in being a disciple, many of them. And so along the way, we were able to help some folks, and I'm sure some good was done. But, you know, I really began to take a hard look at what are we doing here? Because right under our noses was a whole crop of young people that were trainable, that were growing up, and what were we doing to invest in them? And I remember driving back from Detroit with Kaylin and just talking about the farm and our lives and what would be the best way to invest the next few years of our lives. And I remember saying to her as she was asking some really great questions, I think one of the best things that we could do would be to invest in the really trainable young people that are already here. And so that was the genesis of the Nehemiah Discipleship Program. We pulled together a pilot program September of 2020, and we began to put together plans for using the farm as a context for real discipleship training for young people that were serious about serving God, and to help them put tools in their toolbox to do that. And so we just finished our fourth Nehemiah discipleship program this past spring. We've had over 70 different young people that have participated in the program so far. We've had Bible college students from three different Bible colleges that have participated. We've had 10 that have completed our summer training program. It has just been a huge blessing. And when I look at what God has helped us to do through that, I just think there's more that we need to be doing in that space. And so I'm excited to be able to continue that. And we're looking at continuing to develop more aspects to that. So not only the summer training program, but longer internship opportunities where young people can train with us and spend time here. But just investing in the team that we have. You know, the gathering is full of young people that are vibrant, active, involved. And really from the very beginning, my desire with it, even if it was just for the home team, if it was just for our young people, it would be enough. We opened it up to others, and others have found it helpful as well. But there's just so many great lessons that can be learned on a farm like this. So many things that can be learned. And so being able to use the farm as a context for discipleship and also for hospitality. You know, this past year, we've been able to welcome almost 600 camper nights, different people from a variety of different backgrounds that have come and have stayed with us and have benefited from being here at the farm. You know, in 2007, when we took time away as a family to reflect, to rest, to refocus our minds and our hearts, I needed a place like Victory Acres. I needed a place like this that I could really be able to shut out the noise and just be together with God. And I think there's a lot of other leaders that are in that space too. You know, we live in a noisy world. and being able to come away and really do the deep work that needs to be done, I think a place like Victor Acres is perfect for that. And so we want to continue to develop hospitality options for pastors that are in transition, or missionaries that are home on furlough, or that leader that's in a space where they're trying to figure out the next step and what they're going to do. We're endeavoring to continue to develop more spaces where we can welcome people and serve that ministry of hospitality. We're also interested in continuing to develop a ministry of healing in that. And I think there's something incredibly beneficial and healing about working with your hands and working in the soil. And so continuing to have some gardening work that's here, continuing to have a variety of different agricultural things that are going on. But that's the backdrop to the real work. And the real work is the work with people. A while back, I wrote a vision script. It's kind of a history of the future, if you will. The picture that I can see developing here at Victory Acres. And I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you. We have a team of competent, committed people who see the opportunity of Victory Acres and share our vision. They're willing to do their part to make Victory Acres successful. They're not necessarily paid a salary or employed by the farm, but instead most of them have an opportunity, quote unquote, that they're developing as a means of making a living. These may be privately owned businesses, selling something or providing a service using space, the community life, the tools that Victory Acres makes available. Dave is running a wood miser as a full-time venture, marketing locally custom-cut logs and stockpiling lumber to sell when business is slower. He has volunteers to help him, guys like Josh, who are here for NDP mostly, but occasionally there's someone who wants to intern with him. Robert runs a cattle operation. That is where his bread is buttered. He's living in a tiny house on the back 20 acres. With fewer bills, makes this possible. He's dating one of the girls from the gathering and enjoys the life together that he's found here. He spends his days mending fences and preparing pastures. He's also having a group of willing workers working alongside him, learning through his godly example. Peter has a herd of pastured pigs that uses some of the woodland and unclaimed areas to forage. He grows some nice pigs that are butchered on farm. He smokes his own bacon and hams. Sarah, my daughter, is running a horse boarding and trail ride operation. People who stay at the farm enjoy taking the horses for rides on the trails in the woods and the fields. She's using hay harvested by Robert and his crew from fields not currently being pastured. That's the way it works here. Every piece feeds something else. It all works together. The horse manure from Sarah's operation is used by Katie, Robert's fiance, in growing organic mushrooms. The slab wood from David's sawmill provides Peter with a ready source of wood for his smokehouse. We have people who are gainfully employed in a variety of delightful endeavors, but who have enough time and space in their lives to welcome others while they do it. Our team includes a mix of younger student workers, older retired couples, and a few young families. We want to develop products that we love to use ourselves, whether anyone else buys them or not. We want campsites where our families love to stay, eggs that we like to eat, trails that we enjoy walking and biking. We want to honor God by doing our best to create value and health. We don't cut corners by taking someone else's hard work and passing it off as our own. If it's made at the farm, we want people to know it. We're proud of it. We pride ourselves in excellence for the gospel's sake. We represent Jesus first. We see our products and services as a way to glorify God and to bless our fellow man. We enjoy what we do, and it shows. Our customers eat healthier and live better as a result of the use of our products and services. They are more connected to God, more in tune with His creation, and cultivate connections with others that they would not otherwise have had. Our farm brings together a diverse world, from passionate environmentalists to evangelical Trump supporters, our farm is common ground. Our products and services connect people from all walks of life with a simpler, better time and place. It is the home place for those who don't have one to go back to. It's a stable place of shalom in the midst of a shifting world. We take time to make our products, and we invest a little of ourselves in everything we do. We don't just produce widgets that could have been mass-produced in China. We don't just price our products based on what our time is worth. Instead, we seek to follow our God-given vocation and to bless others by doing good work and selling our products and services at a fair price. We treat every customer, little or big, like a member of our family. We give them exceptional service and provide them far more than they expect. Free firewood with a campsite, access to trails, free upgrades if space is available, a dozen eggs at no charge. It's all part of our philosophy that we welcome people as we would welcome Jesus himself. We want people to know Victory Acres as a place of production, a kindly community where the old ways are remembered and valued. Our front road signage is appealing. Signage directs our guests and shows them the important sites and tells them meaningful stories. We are marketing it as a farm experience. This is a place where the 7-generation family farm is preserved and the old, almost forgotten skills are recovered and taught. It is a place to learn and to enjoy the beauty of farm life. It is a place to hike, to picnic, to feed animals, to bring your family, to have a date. It's a place for every season. Pumpkins in the fall, Christmas trees and hot chocolate in the winter, vegetable starts in the spring, camping in the summer. People think of it as a place where good things are always happening. We are constantly incubating new business opportunities and then handing them off to young, excited entrepreneurs who have come through NDP and desire to stay around the farm. We have a subdivision growing on the back 20, and we are in negotiations to buy nearby land. Our vision of creating a contrast missional community has attracted a stream of people who've come and then go from the farm. Refugees from Myanmar, Afghanistan, and Cambodia have found a home and a family. A diverse congregation meets at the church building just across the street. A school for the children of our community has started in partnership with Heartland Christian School, and it now has 40 students and is overseen by our local board. We are training over 40 leaders each year through the NDP program. We have a strong connection with our city ministries, and ministry leaders frequently come for several days to play and refresh with their families. It's fun to see them interact with the students who are working here, from our Bible colleges and nearby universities, as they learn small-scale, sustainable agricultural techniques and practices. Together, they pick green beans, enjoy the farm, and experience life. We're a resource for the city ministries we support, and our impact is global. Missionaries go and come from the farm regularly, and we always have a safe place for returning veterans or new missionaries. It's a home for the homeless, preachers who retire with no income or family to care for them, and missionaries in transition. They all find a place where their service is valued. They have a community to welcome them. It's a community of Christ in action, glorifying God and inspiring people to dwell deep in their place. You know, getting there is the challenge, obviously. As they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I was just reflecting yesterday in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 21 and 22, describes how David was preparing. God wouldn't let him build the temple, but he prepared. He prepared for another generation. And because of his preparation, and because of the battles that he had fought, Solomon was able to live in peace and to have the tools and all the resources necessary to be able to truly make the temple an amazing testament to God's faithfulness. And that's my desire here at Victory Acres. You know, we're at our current rate a little less than 4 years away from being debt-free. And over these past few years, it's been a challenge. As we've climbed this mountain piece by piece, just continuing to do what we can do each year, a little at a time. But as I look out on the horizon and I see the young people that have been trained here and I see the opportunities that are here, it is so exciting. And while I may not live to see it, I am hopeful that those who come behind me will have more to work with, and that Victory Acres can continue to develop as a place of hospitality, healing, and discipleship that will have an impact, not just here, but on many other places around the world. And so I'm thankful. You know, today we'll be meeting with the board of directors here for Victory Acres in just a few hours. This is the 20th year that our board of directors has met. And there are so many great stories, so many great memories of those board meetings in the past. But as I think back over the years and how God has directed this ministry, how He has led us, I'm thankful for the ways in which He has blessed us with godly, disciplined leaders. Scripture says in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I am thankful for the leadership that God has given us. And so I'm excited about it and excited to see where God takes us next. I know that some people have not necessarily been aware of the many iterations that we've gone through as we have moved from kind of crisis intervention and just helping folks straight off the street to really focusing in on discipleship. And so for many of them, they're still back there where we started, but I'm excited about where God is taking us next. We're committed to continuing to welcome the people that God sends to us. And so if those are disciples from the inner city that need a place, a context to continue to grow and to develop as Christian leaders, we are absolutely open to that. We are continuing to be in relationship with the folks that God has led us to in the city. But our primary focus is discipleship. That's what we're about. That's what we want to be about. And so really walking the road with people in this context and helping them to draw closer to God and to grow in relationship with Him is our first priority. And so continuing to develop this as a place where that can happen, a place where that is happening on a daily basis is my passion and desire. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. And I'm just incredibly grateful for all that God has provided and is providing for this work. So for Gleaning and Gathering, that's what's on my mind today. And may God bless.